This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien.
A group of 21 young people, some of them in their teens, are claiming that the federal government's promotion of fossil fuel production is going to ruin the world by the time they reach middle age. And so they have filed a court case, and a district court judge in Oregon has said, yes, indeed, this case can go ahead. Let's consult with former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. My conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems and Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. The judge in the federal district court in Oregon was pretty clear that these young people had standing and that they indeed seem to have a case. So what was the judge's reasoning here?
Well, her reasoning is that you're entitled to a stable climate as part of your fundamental constitutional rights to life, liberty, and property. There's a related argument in the lawsuit brought that the government has violated the public trust doctrine, which is a legal concept that holds that the government is responsible for protecting public resources such as land and water, and that federal government policy promoting the use of fossil fuels undercuts those resources, violates the public trust. So there are two general theories. One is based on the concept of fundamental rights, and the other, the public trust.
And she writes in part, just as marriage is the foundation of the family, a stable climate system is quite literally the foundation of society, without which there would be neither civilization nor progress. Now, this sounds like, this is at such a high altitude, this argument. She made it sound like it even transcends the Constitution. It goes back to just common law here. Is this something that the Supreme Court is likely to accept?
Maybe not. First of all, no federal courts, including the Supreme Court, have ever recognized a constitutional right to a natural environment that's free of air pollution or water pollution. We have legislation that provides for cleaner water and cleaner air. The legislative branch came up with that. It's enforced by the executive branch, but no one has said that you have a constitutional right to the Federal Clean Air Act or the Federal Clean Water Act or their state counterparts. So it's a stretch. Having said that, there are other fundamental rights that didn't exist. They're not enumerated in the Constitution, but have been recognized by the Supreme Court. And for example, the right to privacy, the right to self-defense. Several others that have been added over the years, mm-hmm. but this is a pretty big leap, not just for climate change and addressing it, but for environmental law generally. So it'll be interesting to see whether the opinion survives as it works its way up to the Supreme Court.
And before Trump supporters rise up and start tweeting, I should point out that this lawsuit was first filed against the Obama administration, which tried to get it dismissed for some of the reasons that you just cited, that the courts aren't really the appropriate place, I guess, to oversee a phenomenon like this. But at the same time, so is the phrase life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness just not enforceable?
No, it is. There's no question that, for example, with respect to liberty, that you're entitled to due process. You can't be denied your liberty. You can't be denied your life without substantial, extensive due process to protect you through the legal system. And your fundamental right to property is protected by, for example, the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that says, they cannot take property without for public use without compensation. So these are meaningful rights, and as I mentioned, there are other rights that have been expanded over time to cover issues that weren't enumerated in the Bill of Rights, like the right to privacy, the right to marriage, the Loving v. Virginia case, which struck down laws barring marriages between people of different races. So the courts have slowly over time added additional enumerated rights that are usually themselves grounded in something fundamental, like the right to life, liberty, and property.
In terms of a remedy, the lawsuit would like the federal judge to order the government to write a recovery plan to reduce carbon emissions to 350 parts per million by 2100. There is a precedent, isn't there, for courts to direct government to do things that happened in our own state with the McCleary decision, right?
Yeah, and that was based on state constitutional language that lays out the fundamental duty of the state to the paramount duty of the state to provide and fully fund a basic education. So where there's clear enough constitutional language, the courts can enforce can enforce it. And they've done that in the states regarding education in several places in the country. That's happened. There just isn't a lot of case law right now stating that, you know, a clean environment is a constitutional right. It's certainly a value that's been established in statute. So this goes back to the Obama administration's point that it's Congress and the executive branch that should address climate change, you know, not the courts. I mean, Congress should decide what the policy is going to be, what the recovery plan is going to be to reduce carbon emissions, not a federal judge.
Okay, so this does seem headed to the Supreme Court.
I think that's a good bet, yes. I think that whichever way the district court rules, the losing side will appeal it to the, you know, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And then if the Ninth Circuit agrees with the district court and says, yep, there's a fundamental right, a constitutional right to a stable climate, then I think it's, you know, better odds the Supreme Court will take it up.
You've argued before the Supreme Court. So the person, for whoever has to argue against fixing this, is standing up there saying, no, I'm sorry, you kids, if the air goes bad by the time you're 40, sucks for you, but that's the way it goes.
Well, you know, there are other options. I mean, we don't live under one branch of government, the judiciary. You know, there's an executive branch, there's a legislative branch. So there are lots of avenues to pursue when one is unhappy with the state of the environment. That's how we ended up with not only statutes like the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act and many others, but also it's how we ended up with the Environmental Protection Agency, a creation of statute that's housed in the executive branch.
But as we know, had it not been for court orders, a lot of racial discrimination cases and a lot of discrimination cases, we probably wouldn't have had voting rights and things like that.
Well, you know, that's true that Brown versus Board of Education struck down separate but equal public schools as a violation of equal protection. So that you're right, that's fundamental. But at the same time, the Voting Rights Act, which is the law that actually operates to, you know, enforce voting rights and then comparable civil rights laws that have been passed, are creatures of statute. So our laws that provide for civil rights in detail are provided by the legislature, not by, you know, lifetime appointees to the federal bench.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, brought to you by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants and Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Rob, thank you.